are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock with you on this Wednesday episode of Winky Wednesday. Nick Winkler is on the line. He's going to join me in 1 second. I do have to remind everybody first, though, about how to get a hold of me. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's where most of these Twitter questions are coming in. And we're doing a little bit of a mailbag today. Got some emails as well. Email is lockedon49ers@gmail.com. You can subscribe, rate, review the show, and all the places that you find podcasts. You can also find Locked On NFL is the other podcast I'm hosting on the network. It's a league-wide national show. My co-host is former NFL scout Matt Williamson, so that's a must-download as well. So you got to check that out as soon as this one is over. So let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, there's something very important that happened this week, and you have we now have something in common. You and I have both served future Hall of Fame linebacker Patrick Willis.
Yeah, it was pretty epic, man. He's a nice guy, and you know, just he brings a presence about him that just, you know, the aura of, you know, GOAT. You know, oh, yeah. I am the greatest, and he doesn't show it. You know, he doesn't like go out of his way to be it. He just is it. You know, he's got a smile. He's got charm. He's funny. He's, you know, like everybody at the restaurant was just like, oh my gosh. Oh, he's so nice. He's so friendly. And like, he was, people were walking by, he was smiling. And you know, like one of my, my bartender on the day, she had a little crush on him, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, you think he'll take a picture with me? I was like, just go ask, you know, like it's fine. He seems pretty cool about it. And she walked up and was, you know, just saying hi. And he actually said, oh, you want to take a picture? And so she's like, yeah, oh my gosh, he wanted to take a picture with me.
Did your voice get that high when you got your photo?
I was like a little kid. I was 10 years old again. You know, I was, yeah, we've been in the business. You know, we're around a lot of people. We're around a lot of professional athletes. You know, when I used to cover the Pro-Am up here at Pebble Beach, I was around a lot of celebrities as well, musicians, movie stars, things like that. And there's only been a few times in my life when I've really just been starstruck, and it was yesterday. You know, it was really just like in awe. Like I don't even remember what I said to the guy. You know, I feel like we talked a little bit about this and that. I recommended a dish, and you know, talked about, he asked me if I had kids, talked about the kids. And other than that, like, I don't know. I may have been a complete idiot, you know, I don't know, bumbling around. I have no idea.
Of course, he mentioned that he was a podcast listener, I'm sure.
Yeah, totally. He's like, yeah, you know, guys, I listen all the time. I'm trying to get in your fantasy football league. You know, I put in an entry under a pseudonym, you know, like, I don't want to play favorites. I don't want you guys to just pick me immediately. So yeah. Hopefully my joke was funny enough.
He's like, Nick, is it cool if I get a photo with the Wednesday regular guest at Locked On 49ers? He's like,
he said he only listens on Wednesdays. I'm sorry, Brian.
He's like, I send in questions under the name Mark.
Yeah. Has Mark reached out to you? He's not reached out to me.
No.
All right.
No, I hope I hope we didn't give him too hard of a time that he's not listening anymore.
I know. Maybe we did.
Oh, no, Mark's great. Bad. No. I'm sure he's still
listening. We love Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe he didn't miss that episode. Mark, if you're out there, you got a spot in the Locked On 49ers Fantasy League, come claim it.
Yeah.
And stay tuned to the end of the show. We've got more information on that, too.
Ooh, it's more to come.
Yeah, more to come. Let's see. Hey, the 49ers played football. How did you feel about that?
Oh, man, it was pretty awesome. I don't actually get NFL Network, so for me, I had to wait, you know, to watch the game. But no, I watched it, and I felt really good. You know, I mean, it was pretty awesome to see the young wide receivers looking great. You know, Mullins looked pretty good. Beathard didn't look horrible. He's got that thumb injury now, though, so who knows how long he's out. He probably just lost the handle on the backup job, right?
Well, it depends. So if he's not going to – he's going to play. Yeah. Everything we know about C.J. Beathard, he's going to do what he can, even if it's to his own detriment. He'll tape it up.
Right.
He's not going to miss his opportunity because this might be the last shot he gets. Shanahan said he's going to be the guy who's going in after Garoppolo. He's going to go in ahead of Mullins in preseason game number two against the Broncos. And so he can't pass that up. I bet he's going to play no matter what he has to do to get ready and tape up whatever he's got to do, you know, take whatever sort of pain medication he has to get through it. Right. He is going to play, and he's going to compete. That's at least one thing that I think I'm pretty confident about with C.J. Beathard, and he's a tough guy, and he'll play through that. Whether or not he'll do enough to win that backup job, I have my doubts. The question is, do they keep two or three quarterbacks?
Yeah, yeah, that's when it really gets tricky. I don't think they keep three. I think it's a two-quarterback team, or maybe, you know, you hope you can slip Beathard onto the practice squad, which probably won't happen, but who knows? Who knows where they're going with that? Back to the game, man. It was anytime you could beat the Cowboys, it's always fun.
Yeah, and it's enough of bragging rights to at least annoy a Cowboys fan. Everybody out there, I'm sure, knows at least one Cowboys fan. Could be like, hey.
Trout.
Yeah, exactly. And you can still give them a little something, even if it's a joke. It's like, hey, we won the last time we played. So, I don't know. We didn't even start any starters and we still beat you guys. So
we basically started with our hands tied behind our back and beat you.
Exactly. You know what? It's interesting because when it comes to C.J. Beathard, and if the 49ers say go two quarterbacks, and it's Garoppolo and Mullins, and they cut C.J. Beathard, it's not like it would hurt if he gets picked up by another team. I don't think he's going to have trade value. Maybe you can get a late-round pick for somebody who really needs a backup quarterback, maybe someone that really liked him in the draft, because the 49ers traded up to get him, and they must have had some sort of idea that another team liked him in that third, fourth-round area to trade up to draft him. So maybe there's a coach out there that likes him, and they would give up a little something. So that's possible.
Sure.
But the thing is maybe you say, okay, well, I would like to keep three quarterbacks, but what is going on when you're in your season if you need C.J. Beathard, who's the third quarterback at that point, to play games? Like, how good, like, what could become of your season? So it's like, it's completely unnecessary. Because if you're at the point where C.J. Beathard's playing, where are you as a team? Why would it matter? What are you going to win? Like, he's 1-9 as a starter for the 49ers. Garoppolo's 6-2 as a starter for the 49ers. They've played the same seasons with the same talent around them. So you're not like going to go to C.J. Beathard and he's going to Nick Foles you into the Super Bowl. So what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm completely on board with everything you just said.
Let's see. Any other standouts in that game for you?
Dre Greenlaw looked great. I mean, I felt like every time, you know, I looked up, he was around the ball, and that was really cool to see, especially with his backstory and everything. And you know me, I'm always watching the linebackers. So yeah, that was really cool.
Your linebacker guy. I mean, he's no Patrick Willis. When you're friends with Patrick Willis, you're hanging out with him and you're like, well, Dre Greenlaw doesn't really measure up anymore.
My new best friend Patrick and I were talking and we were both impressed with the way Dre played.
Oh, so what did Willis order?
Oh, he ordered the seafood enchilada combo platter, and he loved it. And he ate every little bit. He had a spicy mango margarita, which is, you know, our go-to drink, our specialty, the thing we're most famous for.
Good. I'm glad to know that Willis is like laid back now, and he's able to go for the margarita. When I served him, we had a really good burger at this restaurant called First Crush downtown San Francisco.
But he was playing at the time.
He was playing at the time, yeah. And dude, he was not linebacker big, because I've served athletes before. I've had huge guys in there. Do you remember a guy named Matt Shaughnessy? Played for the Raiders for a while. He's like an outside linebacker, hybrid defensive end.
Sure.
Massive dude. He was like 6'5", 260, something like that. Just guns. And it's like, you see that guy and you're like, what the hell, dude? You don't look like any other human I've ever seen. You know, he's just like a bodybuilder, but athletic at the same time. Patrick Willis was built like a wide receiver, I thought.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, I think he's like 6'1", 220 or something.
Yeah, in great shape, but slim. He was built for speed, you could tell. He wasn't like a big power player, which is, you know, it's how he played on the field. But he ordered the burger, well done, and he actually had to send it back because it wasn't well done enough for his liking, but he wasn't drinking. I offered him a drink, didn't want to drink. He was just hanging out and having a date. He's married now. I think he married the girl that he was dating at the time that he was with at the restaurant. Blonde-haired girl, was he with her?
No, he was actually one of my employees is one of his assistants.
Oh.
And he had told me that when I hired him, like, you know, after I hired him, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got this other job. I hope it doesn't, you know, affect too much. You know, I help out Patrick Willis, blah, blah. Like, he threw it out there like it was nothing. And I took it as like, that Patrick Willis. Sure, sure. And so, you know, a couple weeks later, he mentioned something about, you know, oh, yeah, Patrick's going to be at a football camp this week. I'm like, are you talking about Patrick Willis from the 49ers? And he's like, yeah, you know him? I'm like, well, I don't know him, but I definitely know who he is. Oh, yeah, no, I'll bring him in sometime. And so, I thought that was just, you know, oh, whatever, we'll see. And yesterday he called me and was like, hey, you know, are you working today? And I was. And he's like, oh, Pat and I are on our way in. I was like, oh, damn, I was about to leave, but now I'm staying.
Yeah, you got
to
stick around now.
Yeah, that was cool.
Sorry, kids, you're going to have to stay at school all night.
Yeah, sorry.
Daddy's got to work late.
I'm calling all my friends that have kids that go there. Like, hey, pick up my daughter. Can't come home.
She'll understand someday.
Patrick Willis. No, he says he's been there before, too, which was cool.
That's awesome. Well, who hasn't?
That's right? A good point. If you haven't, what are you waiting for?
All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and hit that Locked On 49ers mailbag.
Listen up, guys. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence with Blue Chew. That's like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the very first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from a little extra function, maybe a little bit more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps your follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Pay just $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Let's get started with an email from our guy LG. He wants to know about Dante Pettis, and he says, just wondering, where is Dante Pettis?
Yeah.
Does he realize he can lose his job? Seriously, is there a chance that he will get cut? I'm not hearing a lot about him right now. Thanks for the continued info on my 49ers.
Well, I feel like I saw him out there.
He was on the field.
I feel like I saw him even there, like throughout the whole first half.
Yeah, he played. He played a lot of snaps, and right. His PFF grade was low. He didn't get, he got targeted once, zero catches. And it's funny because he's the guy that's supposed to be this big breakout player. Richie James started next to him. Richie James got targeted 7 times, had 6 catches, wasn't a lot of yardage involved. He did have the long pass that there was a holding, so it called it back that Richie James caught. But Pettis, you want him to be the guy that's like, okay, Pettis is the guy, right? This is a breakout season. And to answer LG's question here, definitely not getting cut. I mean, I've seen that around a little bit. That's 100% not happening. That's crazy talk. But
right.
he needs to fulfill some promise that everyone was expecting to see from him. In limited action last year, if you extrapolate that production out, it was supposed to be a huge year for him. And so Kyle Shanahan talked about it after the games. You know, he wants to see more from Pettis. So he's been called out.
We all do.
He's been called out publicly. The fans want to see him. Everyone's excited for this breakout. So now it's up to him.
Yeah, hopefully game two he can come out and show a little something. That being said, we know what he can do. You know, we saw it last year in real games that really mattered. And maybe that's just it. Maybe they don't want to show anything. Maybe it's one of those things like you heard about it coming out of Arizona, you know, with Kyler Murray. They're talking about like, no, this is this first game. We're not going to show you guys anything. Like, this is going to be real vanilla. And so maybe the 49ers are doing a little bit of that too. Hiding their weapon. Although, you know, you saw Samuel and Hurd out there. Man, I love Hurd. I love the way he plays. I'm in 100%.
Oh, the physicality. Yeah. So that was what stood out to me. Like the first play, the first touchdown, it's like every single receiver on the 49ers could have made that catch. It was wide open. The linebackers left him wide open, just crossing across the field. There was like no special route or anything for him to get open on that play. It was just a bootleg. He's wide open, made the catch. But the key is, and he could have even probably tried to hit the pylon or make a move and maybe go into the end zone untouched. But he's like, nope, the closest spot in the end zone has a player there. So I'm going through him, and it's that physicality and that attitude, I think, is something that's been missing from the 49ers wide receiver core. And so that was cool to see. And then the red zone play was just a simple back shoulder fade. Nothing, you know, nothing spectacular about how he ran the route. Nothing spectacular about the throw. It was well placed, you know, back shoulder, but he's big and tall and strong and went up and plucked the ball out of the air and has a nice little touchdown. So that's great to see because size, attitude, strength, physicality, something. It was a very finesse wide receiver group before they brought in Deebo Samuel and Jalen Hurd. But there's one play that I think I liked more than both touchdowns. It was a Brandon Wilds run. If you remember the play that got called back, it was a nice little gain from Brandon Wilds, who got signed 5 hours before the game. Just ridiculous. Right. He got signed that day and looked pretty well. He was the best running back on the field for the 49ers. Mostert looked pretty good. Mostert has that ability just spring. He gets that space and he's so fast and he just bursts through and springs these runs in an instant. But the Wilds run, it was a nice little run to the right sideline, and it was called back because there was that cut block. Taran and Kendrick Bourne, I believe, got called for the duo block where one guy goes low and
it's
illegal. So cut block. So it got called back. And on the replay, I realized that Jalen Hurd completely pancaked a linebacker down the field blocking for Brandon Wilds. And so that was, I think, the most impressive play that Hurd had on the field. I love seeing that. And it really adds some credence to a guy who's 230 pounds and probably going to get a little bit bigger to settle in at sort of a position where it's a big slot hybrid H-back player that could line up as a tight end and block even linebackers. And if you have him on the field and he's in the slot and there's a defensive back covering him, then that's a plus situation for the offense to be able to run out of. And if a linebacker's on him, that's a plus situation for, you know, he should be able to uncover from that linebacker pretty easily. So that's a plus situation for throwing the ball. So that is a nice little weapon. I can see why Kyle Shanahan liked him. And the jury's still out on how he'll develop, if he'll ever be able to develop into, you know, a dynamic outside receiver, and still want to see him line up on the line of scrimmage and get pressed. And I don't know how much we'll see of that. And it might be a little bit slow development for his rookie year. And his camp started so slow, he didn't hear anything about him. And then you heard, he did a couple things, you know, aside from getting in a fight. And then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, maybe that confidence is there for him. Maybe it's starting to click. And maybe he's looking more ready than I thought he was going to look for week one, which would put some other people on the roster bubble if he's able to come in and contribute, especially with Trent Taylor being out, with Hurd being someone who's probably going to line up mostly in the slot.
Yeah, I like my slot receivers big. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm a Trent Taylor guy. I love how he plays. You know, he reminds me a lot of Julian Edelman. But I also, you know, hey, Hurd reminds me a lot of Bolden. And I am a Bolden guy. And I want, imagine, like, a crossing pattern of Kittle and Hurd. Like, come on. And nobody's getting in the way of either one of those guys. They're going to be like locomotives, you know. And I just, I feel that I could really open up the outside. I could really open up either one of those guys, really help the running game. Like, I love the way Hurd plays. I didn't even see that play you were talking about, and I was already on board. And that just, you know, really, I know it's one game and it's a preseason game.
Oh,
it's game number one, but you know, this is the time of the year where we get excited about little things like this, and he got me excited.
It's the only thing we've seen. It's such a small sample, and I promise you, next week everything's going to be exactly opposite of what we saw in week one. And by week two of the regular season, we're going to forget anything that happened in any of these preseason games. And I think practice still is more important. And Kyle Shanahan has said that, and he wishes they didn't play any preseason games. And that's probably why he held out all of his starters. But everything they're doing in practice is more important. There's more reps there, and we don't know. I mean, there's a reason that Debo and Jalen Hurd were playing on the third team offense, and they were playing against Dallas's backups. Whereas when Richie James and Dante Pettis were in the game, they were going against the Cowboys ones, but the 49ers didn't have their ones out there and their number one offensive line to help them out. So it was a more difficult situation that the starters were in for the 49ers. So we'll see if that flips, and we'll see if Hurd and Debo get a chance to run with the ones and run against a little bit better competition, because that would be a better barometer of where they're at. But, it's exciting to see you guys at least play a little bit. And Debo Samuel going up to get the ball, showing some serious burst. I just saw today that he was tied for the fastest runner with the ball in his hands in the preseason week number one, 21.1 miles per hour.
Wow.
So, so he definitely showed some athleticism. You could see it. And he's a power and speed guy, which I like, because you have Dante Pettis, who's definitely, you know, slippery and unique, and he can get open, and he's a fluid mover. Richie James definitely has some speed, but Debo has that speed, but also has an element of power that's just a dynamic combination. And that's what I'm excited about with Debo.
Yeah, that's hard to find. There's not a lot of receivers like that in the NFL, and the ones who are special.
Right. And built like a running back too. So I want to see him catch and run, and with him and look, Dante Pettis and Richie James, those guys can run after the catch too. They have speed. Dante Pettis scored 9 return touchdowns in his college career for a reason. You know, he can move a little bit, and we haven't really seen that part of his game yet in the NFL, but the run after catch with all these guys. And of course, George Kittle, who's set the record for tight ends running after the catch, they can make some big plays happen with short passes.
Right.
But with Garoppolo in there, there should be not only catching the ball short and intermediate and running to the house, maybe they can do more stuff outside the numbers, more throws to the sideline than Nick Mullins. You know, that's not really his strength, and maybe push the ball down the field a little bit more.
Well, I like, yeah, the way they're setting it up with Goodwin able to stretch the field. You know, maybe Pettis is that guy that runs towards the sidelines, and then you got, you know, Kittle running across the middle, Hurd running the other way. Maybe you got Samuel out there, you know, doing his thing. Maybe he's similar to Pettis. They've got options now, and I feel like it's been a few years since they've had that in the wide receiving core, so that's really exciting. It really is. Hey, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I like to read the My Teams app. And the 49ers stuff. And after the game, like a day after the game, one of the headlines was Coleman expected to miss season after ankle injury. And I freaked out. I'm like, no, Tevin, no. And then I opened, I'm like, okay. I mean, it sucks. It's Sean Coleman, you know, yeah, their backup tackle, but it was still like my heart sank.
It's just Sean.
No, I know, just Sean. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, he's solid, but you know me, I'm a Coleman guy.
That's a pretty big loss.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Actually, you know what? Let's get into that. Take a quick break here and hit a couple more questions and then talk fantasy football. So real quick, what we were talking about right there before the break and the offensive line. And I've talked about how all offseason that it's a thin unit. And I was worried about who's going to be that swing tackle anyway behind McGlinchey and Staley. They drafted Justin School out of Vanderbilt in the sixth round. He didn't look like he was ready to me. He played only right tackle in this game. Sean Coleman looked like he was obviously going to be that guy and be the number one backup there to Joe Staley. He started left tackle in that game. Now he's done for the year. After him was Willie Beavers. He's definitely not going to be the guy, I don't think. And I just don't think they have that player on the roster right now. So I'm thinking,
yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe you can deal from some of your depth and some of your strength. I mean, the 49ers rested six defensive linemen and their defensive line was still the best unit on the field in that game. So maybe you can deal from that, but maybe you like some players that you weren't able to draft in the last couple of years. Maybe they end up on waivers. Maybe you claim a guy there, but I really have a feeling that one of the last few guys that makes the roster on the offensive line currently is not on the 49ers.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I hopefully one of the guys that is on the roster right now can step it up and can, you know, be like, oh, here's my chance. You know, like, this is my shot, and really, you know, kind of play rise above their station sort of thing. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's one of those things where cuts are going to start happening. You know, after this week, after week two, don't they have to cut down a little bit? They got to cut the rosters down?
They changed it last year. It's only one cut down now. So I believe
just
the date
one big
is
one? That's
there's
it?
Just one cut. They go from 90 to 53 all on the same day.
Wow.
It used to be in stages, and I believe that date is August 31st.
And they say, yeah, that's got to be right after the last preseason game,
which would be the
game,
yeah
right?
the Saturday after the last preseason game.
Wow, I don't know if I like that so much.
It's there's a lot more madness, I think, because remember in the past they would cut the better players early, the guys that they thought would have a really good shot at getting picked up by another team. Basically, you're doing a guy a favor if you had a veteran that you knew, like, let's say Jordan Matthews. You think, okay, we like our other receivers. We don't need the veteran like we thought when we signed him. Maybe Jalen Hurd's further along than we thought, so let's cut Jordan Matthews early so another team can pick him up before they do all their cuts and figure their stuff out and like, kind of do the veteran a favor. But now it's just, it's all in one. It's all in one shot, and it's madness.
Man,
I'm sure a lot of faxes going around at that.
Right.
I think they still do faxes in the NFL.
You
going to
cut this guy? This guy got a chance of making your squad? If not, let him give him my card when he's leaving the building.
Let's go to Greg. He has an email about Defoe. Speaking of defensive line, last preseason, there was a lot of talk having Defoe play some defensive end to try to help out the pass rush. Sala mentioned that Defoe was getting some work in at DE again last week, but it sounded like that was more of a need because some of the D-line were missing some time. How was Defoe's production last season when he lined up at defensive end? Should we want to see him lined up outside some more this season, or is he best on the inside?
I think you move him around, you know, give the, because he's one of the guys that you have to account for. You know, and Bosa's definitely gonna help, you know, take away some of the double teams and things like that. But I'm all about moving guys around. You know, like if he can play three positions on that defensive line, he should.
Yep.
You know, you can line him up against different guys and really play to his strengths or whatever the mismatches may be that day.
And I think they were forced into it a little bit, not necessarily forced, but they're like, okay, well, we're missing some ends. Let's get Defoe some work outside. And Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach, that's one of his things. He's like, we want all the defensive linemen to play, to be able to play all the positions and just get in there and go. And so that's kind of his idea. And so I like that for Defoe, be able to move him around. And if something, you know, disastrous or something major happens during the season, you run out of defensive ends again, you know, you have Defoe that got some work in camp and got some work in the preseason, is able to go out there and do some things. And I like DeForest Buckner is one of those guys. Well, first of all, he's 6'7". So his length is always going to help him at defensive end. He played 3-4 defensive end in college, and that's what he was drafted to play for the 49ers. So when they went to a 4-3, it was actually sort of a new thing for him to be a defensive tackle. So I like him at defensive end. He can definitely do it. I like him at defensive tackle. Just put him on the field, let him go.
That's right. Yeah, have him on the field as often as you can. And like I said, man, try to play those mismatches.
I got one here from Niner Empire member 49 on Twitter. He says, love the podcast. Keep it going. Given Kyle's take on preseason, how much more do you expect to see the starters to play in weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason? Thanks. Appreciate y'all. Go Niners.
I think we're going to see a lot more in game 2. I think we're, well, obviously, you know, you didn't really see a whole lot in game 1. So, yeah, I think game 2 you're going to at least get a quarter out of them, and maybe game 3 you see him play the whole first half and into the second half. I mean, that seems like a pretty standard thing, right?
Yeah, pretty standard. I think probably maybe a little bit less than normal just to make sure and try to, you know, like it might be a situation where it's Garoppolo for only a quarter or only a couple of series, and they get him out early, but they leave the rest of the first team out there for the next quarterback to play with.
Right.
And then they stay through the first quarter, maybe a little bit more. And then in game 2, maybe the whole starting crew goes for the first half and then they move on. But I think there's a lot of, I mean, this roster is weird because there's some depth now, but everything's not really, the depth is very fluid. It's like, you know, there's a lot of jobs, especially the backup jobs. I think we know who the starters are for the most part, but there's some backup jobs really up for grabs. So, you know, the guys playing in the fourth quarter might be players that are trying to get a number 2 spot, and there might be some players that come in that replace the starters that are on the bubble. So I think they do want to see a lot of the backups and get them a lot. And it's a young roster too, so they want to get those guys as many reps as possible. So I would expect maybe a little bit less than normal, but definitely going to see some number 1s finally here in the next couple of weeks. And then week 4, I'm sure it'll be everybody sits. Maybe the entire 53 that they think is going to make it doesn't play in that one.
Yeah, and that's why you have all those extra guys. You know, you put your 47 out there to kind of hold it down. But a point you kind of just made there is the fluidity of a lot of these positions. Like when it comes to wide receiver and running back, I think just throughout the season, if all these guys are healthy, I don't think, you know, there's going to be one wide receiver that has a ton more snaps than anybody else. Like I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, pretty even numbers out there just based on packages that Kyle's going to run out there, and he's going to have special ones designed for each guy, you know, because each guy has their own kind of special skill set. And it comes to the running backs as well. Like, I think you're not one guy's going to get 25 carries. You know, I just don't see that ever happening on this 49er team. So
yeah, with the running back,
I like it.
Yeah. The running backs will try to keep them healthy. So you know, might as well split those carries. And then if one guy's hurt, maybe you can lean on another guy a little bit more. But with the wide receivers, the competition might not end in the preseason. They might, you know, they might pick their 6 guys to leave the preseason with and go into the regular season, but those guys might still jockey for position. There might still be some competition going on because right now nobody's laid their claim to those starting spots, I don't think, or really any of the spots on the depth chart at wide receiver.
And something that I love about Kyle too is he's one of those guys that, you know, he plays the hot hand. You know, he knows, like, okay, this guy's having a day, I'm going to keep going at it. And yeah, like you said, it could just be that number 6 wide receiver all of a sudden, you know, makes a great play on special teams or something. Like, oh, let's get him in there. Let's get a package for him. Oh, he made a catch. All right, let's get him back in there.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that about Shanahan for sure.
He enjoys being that mad scientist. We got to talk about our fantasy football league. We only have a couple
minutes
left here.
Oh, yeah, we're running out of time here.
Let's announce it. Who's in?
A big shout out to everybody out there. I mean, it was overwhelming to me. Like my DMs weren't open at first, and so I was having to do all this stuff and like invite people, and then I opened them up, and yeah, it was crazy because it came out to be 94 entries into this thing. Like just crazy stuff.
That's after over 100 entries last week too. So
yeah, which is so cool because, and that everybody knew the name too. I guess we didn't pick a very hard thing. We do talk about the oblong balls quite a bit.
Did you offer a spot to Patrick Willis?
Now, I should have, but I just thought that might be disrespectful since, you know, he's a real football player. I just didn't want to be that guy. Okay. You know, I didn't want to be that guy. I just wanted to keep it professional while I was at my other job.
There's no IDP in this league, so he's like, yeah, not interested.
Yeah, no, you know, you guys, you just group defense as a whole. No, I'm good. So we've got four spots left here. So here's what I decided to do. Instead of just one this week, I figured I'd pick two. We'll hold a spot for Mark, and then we'll have one more chance for everybody to get in next week. And we'll announce that after this. And what I'll do too is I'll pick one here today that'll kind of be a third spot just in case Mark doesn't claim his spot. So
I love it.
As you can hear here, I put every single person. This took me a lot of time. And I got to tell you, we're going to do it different next year for sure.
You're a true commish, man. You definitely are putting in more work than I would have.
And I wanted to be fair. Like, there are 94 names in this hat, my 49ers 39-30 hat from last season. I am mixing them up. All right, here it is. Here's who gets the 11th spot in the league. It is Nelson Vasquez. Nelson Vasquez. There's a Z and a Q. Maybe just Vasquez, but
Vasquez.
Nelson?
I'm going to go Nelson Vasquez. Congrats, Nelson.
Velasquez.
Oh, Velasquez. Okay, Velasquez.
Yeah. Nelson, you're in. Congrats, dude. All right, let's do another one here. All right. And you know what was really cool, too, before I picked this? How many people, like, not only would, you know, put the name in, but then would also, like, want to chat football? You know, and I chatted with every single person that sent me a message. You know, if you said something, or, you know, I at least commented on what you said, or it was really cool just to be able to chat with people. Because we all share, you know, a love and a passion. And here's another person that did. Our second entry, 12th spot in the league. M. Pinto 21. I don't have a real name on there, so I'll have to look that up.
Congrats.
Congrats, Pinto.
That's number 12 of 14. So we have two spots left.
One's for Mark. I'm going to put it in here as Mark placeholder. But this person I'm going to pick right now, if Mark doesn't chime in by next week when we pick the final spot, this person will get in.
Or if somebody else drops out, this will be our alternate.
Oh, there we go. I'll just put it as alt. Here we go at the bottom. Yeah, because also what may happen, too, is we're going to make sure that everybody has to be there. Like, if you can't make the draft date, just give up your spot.
Yeah.
Don't auto-draft. Don't ruin it for everybody, because we will shame you on the pod. All right, here we go. Doug Mahoney, you are our alternate.
I was about to sing the Doug song from The Hangover, but I'm going to save everybody from that.
No, sing it, please.
No. maybe I'll plug it in right here.
Okay. Oh, I like it. So here we go. Last spot. Next week. Here's what you got to do. All right. It's real simple. Brian's going to put the pod up in the comment section. Put what your team name would be. That's it. And Brian and I will pick the best one.
Best team name.
Best
Get to it.
Name. Real simple.
You can't take wide Niners. That's what I've already named my team. And I have a feeling you might have seen a lot of variations on that. So don't repeat that one. Already taken.
You can't take mine either. I am winking the stink. You cannot take that. That is taken.
All right. Get those names ready. And that's it for us this week. Talk to you tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.